This is the November 7th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 66 for property ID 123006022. The property is owned by Cliff and Barbara Ainsley. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant. No detailed quantitative information was provided by the appellant for board review, and the assessor's evidence included three comparable sales, a property information card, and a cover letter recommending no change to the assessed value. I will turn it over to Chairman Daniel Weaver.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is the November 7th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 67 for property ID 25262000. The property is owned by Zach and Josephine Banks. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Zach here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So I'm going to ask you, you purchased this property in February of 24, is that correct?
That's correct. We started the process in December.
Do you have a copy of the notice that the assessor sent to you? It's dated 9/24/24.
They reduced the value to your purchase price of $689.
Yes, I thought you were meant the original letter, the original assessor's annual evaluation. I do have that.
This is a notice that they sent to you and recommending the value be dropped from the $842,776 down to $689, even, which is your purchase price.
Yes, sir, I do have that.
And you're still contesting that value?
I am.
Okay, and you're looking for the $551, is that what the number is?
I didn't catch that last part.
Is that 551,200? Is that the number that you're looking for?
That is the original valuation I sent in. I think after I appealed, I found the comparable sales worksheet with all the instructions on it, which I didn't have prior to. I had just sent in a Excel spreadsheet of the valuation in the manner that I did it when I was looking to purchase. I think the valuation I came up with using the valuation worksheet and the best comps came out to 554.
Even?
No, ma'am. 554,166.
So you think,
and that was with the document, that was the documentation that I sent in with the appeal. At this comparable property sales worksheet, I followed all the instructions on it, and that's where I landed.
So you think you way overpaid for the property?
Well, I knew I overpaid for it when I purchased it. We were moving in from out of state without all cash to purchase the property. And all the properties that came on the market were gone within a day or two. With interest rates being 6-7%, the there were very few properties on, so whenever a good property came on, it was gone immediately. The properties we were able to look at, there were three of them. When we flew in to look at properties, they were all properties that had been on the market for several months. This was the only one that would meet our needs. We had to move, so we had to buy a house. And the people that owned it were, they put it up for sale just months after they purchased it. They were getting divorced, and we purchased it for the absolute lowest amount they could sell it for without doing a short sale. So it was just an unfortunate circumstance for everybody involved, really. And I think I may have overestimated the value of the property. Now that I've gone through this process and looking at the equalization comparable property sales worksheet and using that process rather than the process I used to use when evaluating homes, I think it was, I think I overpaid quite a bit more than originally I had thought. So
even though the appraisal that you have in here came out to $690,000?
Well, I think probably, I mean, as I'm sure most of you know, much like when the housing bubble was going on years ago, appraisers have the contract, so it's not a blind appraisal. You know, we put a very large amount down, a very good credit score. I think appraisals that are, you know, working for the mortgage companies as appraisers, I don't think that they're necessarily the best option for seeing what the actual value is. I think a blind appraisal is a much more valuable, you know, it's a much more valuable estimate of what the property is worth. You guys have done this a lot more than I have, but I have bought, you know, maybe a dozen properties, and the ones that were purchased on a contract, you know, and you talk to people that buy houses, you know, the appraisal generally comes in, for the most part, very close to what the accepted offer price is. And I don't think that those appraisals come in. I've seen blind appraisals before where there's, you know, two different blind appraisers trying to evaluate a property, and they come up with very different numbers. So I provided the appraisal not because I agreed with it, but because I was asked for it, and I'm just trying to be transparent in this process.
The things were selling pretty quickly then, which tends to drive the prices up some.
Well, this property was on the market for 7 months because the price was too high by quite a bit. All the other properties that sold, you know, like the comparables that I, you know, the comparables of all the other sales, if a property was on the market for, you know, 2 weeks, that was a long time.
Mm-hmm. I don't have any other questions.
And they would have had to short sale if we hadn't have, you know, if we hadn't have been in a bind like they were in a bind, they would have had to do a short sale because they would have never sold.
I don't have any other questions.
Yeah, I don't have any other questions on it either. I see you sent us this printout that you had done up a computer sheet on it, and looking at the sales on that and what you have for the appraisal and what the assessor provides and all. I'm good. Thank you.
Do we have another caller in here, Allison, that we don't know about, or is that just...
That's him on the telephone.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, I have no further questions.
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Have you all had an opportunity to read all my correspondence that I sent in?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I have.
And did the assessor's office utilized the comparable property sales worksheet for comps, because the comps that they used were, they didn't follow the guidance of closest and best, and at a time closest to the top of the year. They actually used comps that were really far away and sold at a much earlier time.
But then they reduced their value.
I don't think
their comps are irrelevant because they reduced the value to the selling price
Yeah.
Okay.
So their comps are
in. And I'd also like. Okay. Okay. They use the comps to make the valuation. I thought they were relevant just because they used them to make the valuation. Another thing I'd like to say is none of the properties used in any of the comps, and even the additional properties I used, I checked recently, and none of them have had their tax assessed values raised. Their average tax assessed values are in the low 80th percentile as an average. I don't think that it's equitable for me to have to pay a higher tax value than the properties that everyone's using to compare.
We are not allowed by law to use assessed values of other properties, and we basically ignore the assessed values of other properties. We look at the evidence of that your particular property.
Plus, the previous value on this house was $815,000, so they came down quite a bit.
Well, it's a mobile home. There were some pretty big mistakes made along the way with the valuation. I'm not exactly sure where it went awry, but the valuation of my home is comparable to my neighbor's home, which is, you know, over $1 million property. It's a new build, so I don't know where it went awry, but it's a mobile home. It's not a, you know, a custom home. So I'm not sure how we can't use other properties' valuations if we're using other comps and we're using their current tax assessed values and we're using their current land assessed values in the computation of calculating the comparable sales. So
we are not using the actual. We're not using the assessed values. We're using only the sales value.
And one of the best determinations of what something sold for, I understand your circumstances, but that's pretty much universal that people will agree that what something sold for typically is the best indication of value. So the fact the county lowered it.
Market value is determined by what a willing buyer is willing to pay a willing seller. You know, you may have felt that you were in a bind position, that you had to buy something, and he may have been in a position that he had to sell something, but it's still, in the final analysis, it's what you were willing to pay for that person who was selling that property, willing to sell it to you for.
I don't have any further questions.
Anything else?
No. Nope. I don't have anything on it.
Mr. Banks?
Yeah, if I bought the house for $100,000, I don't think my tax assessed would be $100,000. So, I would think equalization would determine all of the evidence and not just rely on the purchase price, or I wouldn't have this worksheet to fill out, and we wouldn't even have a meeting if it was just
based on
the purchase price.
Yeah, most people haven't just purchased the home. Most of them have been there a while and they have to find comparable sales to support the value that they think. In your case, you just bought the home and there's a purchase price, and so unfortunately that's relied on pretty heavily by everyone as a determination of value.
The comparable sales, the whole purpose of the comparable property sales worksheet would be to show that the value of my property is less than what the county thinks, and I think I've demonstrated that, and I'm not. Is other than the property selling recently for a certain price, is the comparable property sales worksheet that I've provided, is it being considered at all by, have you read it and looked at my comparable? I put a lot of work into that, and I'm just curious if it's even being considered.
I'm just telling you, if you look up in the Washington Code, the definition of a value of property is what a willing buyer is willing to pay a willing seller. That's the definition of market value. And that's what happened in your situation. Whether you overpaid for it or not, and back 2 years ago, we had a lot of people that bought properties that had been valued at significantly less than what they had to pay for, because the market was very hot and they had to overpay for their properties. They had to make a bid and they bought it, and the next year it started to soften, and it has now softened even more and gone down. But still, people are willing to buy properties, whether they're motivated by other reasons, but what they're willing to buy a property for and the seller is willing to sell it for is the definition of market value. There's no better definition.
I definitely understand that. I just thought I was going to be able to, I didn't realize that it was just, I didn't realize you guys were required to just go with the sales price.
I
wouldn't have wasted your guys' time if I didn't think that this was a valuable sales worksheet and the work I put into it. I would have just accepted it if I would have known you guys are required to do that. I didn't realize that.
No, you're not understanding what I'm telling you. That is the definition of market value. And you bought it within 2 months of the valuation date. So it's a pretty good indication of what the market value was at that date. And if you had purchased it 2 years ago, we would clearly look at the analysis that you did on the valuation based on comparable properties. But you just bought the property, and it's defined as what people are willing to pay for it.
Yeah, I definitely hear and understand everything you're saying. I guess I don't agree with it. I just don't think it's equitable. That's all.
Talk to your legislators.
Okay.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You going to close the hearing again?
Yes, close the hearing.
This is the November 7th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition 59 for property ID 16492406, and the property is owned by William and Lynette Bato. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant. No detailed quantitative information was provided by the appellant for board review, and the assessor's evidence included 4 comparable sales, a property information card, and a cover letter recommending no change to the assessed value. I will turn it over to Chairman Daniel Weaver.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is the November 7th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 65 for property ID 12897500. The property is owned by Tammy Hunter. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant. No detailed quantitative information was provided by the appellant for board review, and the assessor's evidence included 3 comparable sales, a property information card, and a cover letter recommending no change to the assessed value. I will turn it over to Chairman Daniel Weaver.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is the November 7th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 64 for property ID 11789-8214. The property is owned by John and Margaret Julesonette. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have John and Margaret here for the appellant. If you could both please raise your right hands now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know that we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
I have one question.
Yes.
Did you get the notice from the county that they reduced your value to the amount that you asked for?
They did last year, and I think that's awesome. And if they want to do that this year, I think I'm completely happy with that.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was misreading this. I thought this was just something that you'd just gotten, but I see it's dated 23.
Yes, there's no assessor evidence for this case. This is one of the few we don't. So there's no 2024 assessor evidence, unfortunately.
Okay. All right. I'll be quiet.
Well, we are just happy to be able to go and talk to you all. We, when we looked at the assessment, we went back into the database that they had given us, and we looked specifically for houses that were in our era when they were built, which was 1978. And there's just not a whole lot of them in there, but when we did look at them, we found out they had, as you can see in sale number 1, 2, and 3, they're running around 5,600 all the way up until 6,1900.
560. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. For the prices. Yeah. And they're about the same size of our house. And I just, you know, I didn't want to compare us with something that was built in 2000 or 2010 or 2020. It just, we're an old house. And we are, you know, it's just the way it is. So, is there anything that you would like for me to talk over that? It's the basically I just used the numbers that you gave me or I was provided.
Let me just clarify something, Lisa. That a copy of that decision or that change by the assessor is from last year. That's not a current one.
I know. I already said that. I realized that. Yeah. Thank you, though.
Yeah. But if they want to do the same thing, we are so happy with that. We're not greedy. We're just nice people. And if you guys want to recommend that we go down further, I am all for that. I am with you 100%.
Oh, you're so generous. Thank you.
It's the least I can do, you know? We're just retired people making happy with life.
Last year, that was a fair assessment.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have any questions.
No, I don't have any questions on it.
I don't either. We have enough to make a decision, I think. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for considering us. We really appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks, Allison, for setting this up. Bye. You're the best.
Thank you. Have a great day, y'all. Enjoy your trip.
Okay, we sure will. Okay, thanks. Bye. Oh, we're waving.
Close the hearing.
This is the November 7th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 30 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 63 for property ID 17574700. Board members present by video conference currently are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is Carrie Dudley here present for the assessor's office, and then we do have Leanne Bremer here for the appellant, Lynn Johnston, Allison Johnston, and then as well as John Meyer here, all present for the appellant.
Correct.
If you could all now please raise your right hands to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
I do.
Did I hear five?
I do. I do.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, let me just Leonard, let me just introduce you. We're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as to the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like your decision. And I think John Marks has something to tell.
So I want to be recused from this hearing. I know Allison and her husband, their property. I have some other associations there. I feel that I just need to not participate in this. So, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, John. Well, you're excused from the hearing. You'll still have two of our brains here to listen to your hearing. Okay, so unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, thank you. I will be first speaking on behalf of the appellant. My name is Leanne Bremer, Miller Nash, 500 Broadway, Suite 400, Vancouver, 98660. As already has been established here today at this hearing are the property owner representatives, Lynn and Allison Johnston, and then also John Meyer from AKS Engineering, who has worked on this property as well. So what I'd like to do this morning is you should have received our written submittal, our argument and some pieces of evidence in support of our position. And then I'm going to turn it over to John Meyer to provide verbal testimony, and then we're all available to answer any questions that you may have. But just so I just tee up the case before I turn it over to John, we don't believe there's any basis for increasing the assessed value. Nothing has changed that would warrant that. And the primary reason for our position is the property is heavily encumbered with critical areas. It's essentially not developable. There are very small portions that aren't wetlands or habitat, but that in itself certainly doesn't merit a $4 million assessment or a assessed value or a $2 million assessed value. So our basis is relying on the non-developability of this property. The assessor did not, as far as we have seen, base their assessment on any comparable sales, and that's understandable because we haven't found any comparable sales in the last 5 years in the vicinity of the property. The assessor's position appears to be based on the fact of the zoning, which would allow high density development. It's in the city of Camas's North Shore Planning District, and that the property was recently part of 230 acres under contract to be sold to a developer. That seems to be the basis for the assessor's assessed valuation, but as our evidence shows, this particular 30 acres out of the whole 230 owned by Lacamas Heritage Properties is not developable. And while we don't have comparable sales, we do have evidence of a recent purchase and sale agreement, a binding purchase and sale agreement, where there was a developer who took a very long, close look at this property to determine whether it, along with the whole 230 acres, was developable for their plans. And I had shared with the board an excerpt from that purchase and sale agreement that placed zero value on this 30 acres because of the encumbrances on the property, the critical areas encumbrances. So we have a real live arm's length real estate transaction where the developer places zero value on the property. We're not arguing zero value. We're content to accept the current valuation of
roughly $555,000. But this property by itself is not as valuable as the assessor believes.
Could you
point me to that
letter of that transaction?
The letter, I'm sorry, the letter we submitted?
Yes.
It was submitted.
That was the purchase agreement, the other third party that decided this was not a valuable piece of property.
Yes, it's in our letter of October 8th, and it's an excerpt from the purchase and sale agreement. I didn't provide the full purchase and sale agreement. It had a lot of other provisions in it not relevant to this issue, but I included a snip from that agreement where it talks about how the purchase price was derived and how that no part of the purchase price was assigned or allocated to the critical areas within the 230 acres, including this 30-acre parcel. And then we also have a statement in the record by the property owner that also confirmed that this 30 acres was not part of the purchase price for the full 230. The last thing I just want to mention before I turn it over to John is the city of Camas heavily regulates critical areas as they're required to do under the Growth Management Act. They also have a very restrictive tree ordinance. This parcel is heavily treed. So it's very difficult, especially when it's property adjacent to other property owned by the property owner, it's very difficult to develop property that has critical areas and trees on it. The first thing that the city looks for is, can you avoid impacts at all? And the developer who was looking at that did just that. In our submittal, you'll see their plan for their development, and there was no development proposed for this corner 30-acre parcel. So with that, I'm going to turn over to John. He worked on the property, worked with the developer. He has inside knowledge about it. So, John, if you want to go ahead and provide your testimony, that would be great.
Sure. Yeah, everyone can hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, so my name is John Meyer. I'm a consulting civil engineer for AKS Engineering and Forestry. I'm a licensed civil engineer in the state of Washington. I've been doing development work in Southwest Washington for the past 20 years. My team and I have performed an extensive feasibility study for the developer Leanne mentioned on this property. The layout that we prepared that came out of that feasibility study is included in that pack as Exhibit D. And as you can see on Exhibit D, the parcel in question, the northwest corner there, we did not have any lots in that high-density residential area just because it was constrained with wetlands, buffers, and a stream. So with the property being residential, in order to impact those critical areas, we would have had to probably get an individual permit from the Army Corps of Engineers, which in my career I've not gotten one for a residential project because we have to do an extensive alternative analysis to show that there's no other properties that can be developed as residential, and that's just almost impossible. So we did not show any development on there. The other thing is in the northeast corner there's some upland area, but in order to access that upland area, we would have had to bring a road in from the south because there is no access from the north. There's no right-of-way. There's no easement to access that property from the north to avoid critical area impact. So those are the main reasons why we showed no development on this property. The other thing is in order to serve the property with sewer and water, we would have had to brought water sewer in from the southwest where the school property is, and that would have also had critical area impact. So for that little bit of upland area that's developable without critical area impact, it would have it would have required a lot of critical area impact just to serve it with access and utilities. And it was not feasible in our mind, so we did not include any development on that parcel except for a small portion of the road that will serve the other parcels that the Johnstons own. So in our mind, there was no value for urban land development for this parcel. Any questions or land? Did I leave anything out?
I think you covered it, John. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And so I would just offer if Lynn or Allison wanted to make any statement, you don't have to, but if there was something you want to say, this is the opportunity to do that.
In agreement with what's been said, don't feel the added value to the property warrants that it's probably worth less than the $555,000, but I did not appeal that, so I'm going to honor that. Feel that that's the reasonable solution.
Okay, as I understand it, it's currently valued by the assessor at $4,114,129, and you're asking for it to be reduced to $555,027, which was the value assigned to it in the prior year. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That's correct.
And is this development that is shown on Exhibit D, is this development approved to go forward, or is it just a schematic showing what could be done?
It was a schematic that shows what could have been done. It was basically a feasibility analysis for a developer who was looking to purchase the property.
And did they purchase the property?
No.
No.
And what was the reason they did not purchase the property?
I defer to Lynn.
I think it was related to infrastructure, really to the entire site. Yeah, the North Shore area is heavily constrained with terrain and critical areas, and just getting city services out here is going to require enormous infrastructure cost. So, yeah, the developer that schematic was produced for has stepped away.
I just want to add that they were involved with this property for probably a couple of years, right, Lynn? And they were very, it was a serious inquiry. It wasn't just they looked at it and decided not to do it. They spent a lot of time and money on this process, getting the zone changed, which was no small feat. And then decided it didn't pencil for them, unfortunately.
Yeah, we were involved with them for at least 2 years on the feasibility process.
And the other pieces of property included in this design, you're not appealing the values on those properties?
We didn't get the notice of valuation on a couple of the other parcels until October. So that's in process.
Yeah, they're not currently under appeal. We're evaluating that.
No.
Correct.
Okay, I have no further questions on that right this moment.
Nor do I.
Let's hear it from the assessor's office.
All right. Would you guys mind if I shared my screen so that we can kind of talk about the documentation that was available or that still is available to the assessor's office when we were determining our valuation?
No, I have no objection. It's up to you.
It's fine with us.
Okay. Go ahead.
Let's see here. Thank you. Okay, so can you guys all see the screen that I'm sharing now?
Yes.
Yeah, it's hard to read. It's very small, so.
Oh, okay.
That would have been our packet. All this
Right. So this was my response to the appeal, and I wanted to have some visuals up while we talk about this. It's sometimes a little easier to follow along when everybody's, you know, kind of looking at the same page. So this just kind of detailed the property itself. The subject property is bare land. It's a 30-acre piece of property in Camas. The zoning is a high-density North Shore residential zone for this 30 acres. There's no sale history on the property, but it is currently being listed with some adjoining properties. As of yesterday, it was still under contract in CoStar, so I'm not sure if it's a new contract or if it's an existing contract. It's owned by the Lacamas Heritage Properties, LLC, and highest and best use for this land is, you know, developed into residential dwellings. I did reach out to the appellant to ask, you know, for any additional information on how they were coming up with their valuation. We have GIS, wetland, and environmental constraint layers that we use to kind of determine some different areas when we're evaluating properties. Obviously, if they're encumbered, they might not be undevelopable, but they might be more expensive to develop, so we do take those into consideration. And after reviewing the two documents that were provided to me, I did determine that we could, you know, adjust what was considered flat and prime usable and then what we're considering environmentally constrained. And so that's where our new valuation came into play. And I apologize, I'm fighting this cold, so my voice is not great. So this is the subject location right here. The other three properties that it's kind of being clumped in with are these three properties here. But this is the one under appeal. Here is a couple aerial views. So this is a further out aerial view, and this is a closer in aerial view of the property. This right here, I have to zoom out just a little bit so I can read some of the verbiage. So this is with the potential wetland presence layer on. So here's the subject property, and you do see that there is a heavy acreage amount that has the potential wetland presence on it. Also, there's potential wetlands in the other three adjoining properties that were being discussed in the appellant's information also. But I did want to just break out with this potential wetlands presence layer. There are two areas in the dark gray that aren't encumbered by wetlands. So approximately 5 acres here and approximately 4 acres here. And I just wanted to let you guys know that the potential wetland presence GIS layer is a combination of national wetland inventory, county maps, county permitted areas, modeled wetlands. So they basically go out and they have variety of sources that they use to determine these, but without an actual wetland delineation report by a licensed, you know, wetlands contractor, this isn't 100% accurate. So, you know, there may be less, there may be more. Without having an actual wetland delineation done, I can't, you know, verify 100% that these are the actual only wetlands on the property. This is just some legal stuff here, so we'll just scroll down to our sales comparison. Just like was stated before, there aren't a lot of sales that are really comparable to this property. There are several that are listed. The Mills Farm right below them has an active listing on it right now. It is not as encumbered with wetlands, but it does have some steep areas and it's heavily wooded. But I did want to take a look at these sales because I thought it would give a good idea of, you know, even though there are environmental constraints on this property. So it's a 30-acre property, and 26 of those are going to be environmentally constrained. That doesn't mean that 26 acres are useless. You can see here in sale number one, of 35 acres, 22 of those acres are environmentally constrained. In sale two, 11 acres, and almost five of them are designated as environmentally constrained. So just because there are environmental restrictions on property doesn't mean that it cannot be developed. And without a wetland delineation report saying we cannot develop this land, the assessor has to assume that there is potential to be developed. So here are some... this is the environmental constraints layer, our GIS layer. This is the subject property here. And so you can see there's a lot of environmental constraints, more than just the wetlands we're showing. So there are some environmental constraints down here in this corner. So this is what that layer looks like on the subject property. Sale number one, you can see here it was 35 acres, but 24 of them, I believe, were constrained. Not meaning that they're not going to be developed. It's just there will be additional things that need to happen to develop that land, and it actually is being developed right now. Sale three and sale two have actually already been developed. So sale two has this dark green area as being environmentally constrained, and they were, you know, able to build a warehouse right there. Same with sale three. They've got some buildings in this constrained area. And then sale four is all environmentally constrained, along with its neighboring property that has a building on it. So just because there's environmental impacts doesn't mean that it's unbuildable. If something were to been provided to me saying that a portion was unbuildable, the assessor's office looks at that as, you know, an unbuildable value, and then a different valuation would have been used. But nothing has been provided to me saying that this property is unbuildable or areas of the property are unbuildable. So this is just a map showing the subject property and then the locations of the four different sales comparisons that I've used. And again, they're not the best sales comparisons. I was just comparing to let you know that just because there are environmental constraints doesn't mean that they can't be actually developed. So this is data that was provided by the appellant, and I did take a look at this data, and this is what ultimately allowed me to make additional adjustments to what we considered usable and what we considered constrained. So that's where the new valuation of the $2 million was calculated, was because they did provide a couple of these different maps. But again, this isn't a full wetland delineation stating that this section cannot be built on and things like that. There's actually notes in here that says it is subject to changes. This is preliminary and it's subject to change. you'll notice that the wetlands here in the north corner or in the north section of the four parcels are one area of wetlands, and then there's a secondary area of wetlands here and then a third area of wetlands here. They're all buffered and things like that. but if you look at their map here, this area of wetlands and their buffer are being developed. So again, that leads me to think, okay, they've done something to allow development in these areas, why wouldn't, you know, this area also be allowed to be developed? They were saying something about the 20-foot high intense land use water and quality habitat Cat 3 wetland buffer. This one down here also is a Cat 3 wetland area, and they've showed development down in this corner. The heavily treed area in the northeast corner was also mentioned. This area down here that's being proposed as a development is also heavily treed. So I, you know, without a report or something that says this cannot happen, to me, it looks like it could be feasible. I also was questioning why this says phase one. Maybe that means that this other area is phase two. So there just wasn't a lot of information provided to me saying this parcel cannot be, this parcel cannot be developed. Again, in the notes here, it says the wetlands habitat is preliminary and subject to change. So it's not, it hasn't been officially determined as wetlands with the buffers in place, as far as I can tell. So in conclusion, having, you know, reviewed the documentation that was sent to me by the appellant, reviewing our online GIS layers, I actually called the city of Camas and spoke to a planner who had a lot of knowledge about this property, and let them know that, you know, that the appellant was thinking only maybe the northeast corner that was treed would be able to be developed, and he actually had a different opinion. He thought the southwest corner would have been the most feasible to develop. And so, you know, that was the city planner at the city of Camas. That was just their opinion on the matter. So there's nothing really set in stone that I could find that would tell me any different as far as, you know, there could be development potential on this land. So, you know, as far as the information that I have, the determination that I was making, I did adjust some of the wetland buffer areas and move them into being a higher or a lower acre rate. Another thing, another thing to also include is they did include a little snippet of their purchase and sale agreement that said something about each acre being valued at $230,000. If you take the value and divide it by the $230,000, you get about 10 acres of land. So it kind of works out to be in that $230,000 range. Again, I'm not privy to the purchase and sale agreement. None of that was sent to me. So I can only go off of the data that I have. So that's what I have.
Okay, I have one question. Can someone tell me what that phase one designation means?
Those many of those blank spaces on that map, they're different zones. They're employment zones, not residential zones, and that developer was not interested in those areas. Perhaps later, but that was not part of the transaction that was being discussed at that time. Those are different zones.
So we put the map together, and I don't know that I see that phase one on the property to the north of the Johnston property. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but it has nothing to do with the Johnston development. I can tell you that much.
The assessor mentioned that as of yesterday, she saw something at CoStar that maybe indicated it was under contract again. Is that accurate? Or
there's no existing. No, there's no contract on the property.
That's what you'd said earlier, but she mentioned that. Clarify it.
Is there any kind of an offer being made at all?
There's interest in the property, but that's just given where it is and all the planning efforts that went into it. There's folks who are interested in and are looking at it. I just want to say, I don't remember seeing any of this that's on the screen before, especially the comparable sales, and I, in the interest of due process, it should have been provided to us so we could have adequately prepared and rebutted the information.
This was given to the appellant, apparently.
It was emailed to, I believe, at the BOE, you and Heather, if I remember correctly.
I don't recall seeing it. But in any event. I just want to say that the best evidence that this property isn't as valuable as the assessor is saying is the fact that we had a developer who is showing on this map that they are not going to develop that property. Believe me, if a developer could develop the property, they would do it. They would maximize the value out of all of it. And it's not just the presence of critical areas, as Mr. Meyer had testified to. It's getting infrastructure to that property that would, in the northeast corner, you would have to cross critical areas. You would need a core permit that you would not get, as he testified. So it's not, I agree that sometimes critical areas can be impacted and developed, but not always. And in this case, the developer determined that it wasn't feasible to develop this portion of the property. Or this parcel at all, and as you can see on this map.
Yeah, we wouldn't be in business if we were leaving developable land out of a deal. And I testified earlier about that northeast corner that's upland area. It's not accessible without having major impacts, and the major impacts to the critical areas offset any valuation that the developer is going to get in developing lots there, so it's got no value to them. I think the other thing I saw, whether there were some comps where there was critical areas that were impacted, and it looked like some of those were like commercial properties, and it's quite a bit easier to do an individual permit for a commercial property or industrial property when you're doing alternatives analysis. It's just practically impossible to get an alternative analysis individual permit approved with the Corps on residential property because there's so many residential properties available to develop that they just won't approve it.
Can you point out the properties that either the Lacamas Heritage or the related parties still own in addition to these, this 230 acres?
Yes, let's see here. So these blue properties are the ones that were in the purchase and sale agreement listed on CoStar. The properties were listed for a total of $22,500,000. The total valuation that the assessor has on all four of these properties at the current time is $17,547,000.
No, I was wondering what other adjacent properties are owned by Heritage or related parties adjacent to these properties.
I'm not sure. I haven't done any of that research to see if they've owned if they own any other properties. I believe all of these down here are owned by. Yeah, this is the Mills. So this one's currently listed right here. This is the Mills Farm, and I think these are all owned by like the clerk or the city or the county or something as open space.
What if, about if the, you go to the east? There's that parcel. That one there.
Which one are you pointing at?
It's that kind of trapezoidal piece that she has her cursor on.
I can't see the cursor.
Okay.
It's down at the bottom of the screen.
Oh, there it is. Okay, sorry. And that's what would you say?
That's owned by Lacamas Heritage Properties.
Okay, what about to those highly parcelized ones in the north and the east or west?
No, those aren't.
Those are all individually owned.
These are owned by, give my map a second to update. Oh, there you go. The city of Camas owns a lot of this property here, and they're keeping it for open space park areas. So a lot of this is owned by the city of Camas.
What about that yellow property adjacent to the 30 acres?
The school property.
So that's all
school
district. Yeah.
And how about to the north?
Here. These are residential parcels.
And right directly north.
Oh, these are still owned. They're just individually owned residential parcels. You'll notice the tan color here. One of the reasons the valuation jumped so much this year is the city of Camas notified the county of the urban growth boundary change. And these properties were included then in that urban growth boundary change. So they went from being on, you know, the border of urban growth to now being included in that growth. So that is the reason that the valuation has changed. These are available to develop.
Is that official or is that planned?
These parcels were brought into the urban growth boundary in 2007.
We only can rely on the data that the city gives us. So we were notified, once a year we're notified by the city of any kind of urban growth boundary changes or zoning changes.
There were zoning changes. Yes, there were zoning changes. But the properties were brought into the urban growth boundary in 2007. They were annexed into the city of Camas in 2008.
That's right.
So, and like I said, we can only rely on what the cities provide to us as far as the urban growth boundaries and the zoning. So if they were brought in, that's good for you guys because we weren't valuing them as being able to be developed at that point.
That parcel that's directly below the 30 acres in question...
This one?
Yeah. What's the valuation of that property?
This is zoned commercial, so it's not zoned residential like the other one. So this one is mainly commercial.
It's mixed use and commercial zonings on that parcel.
Right. And so commercial valuation is different than the multifamily valuation that I do. I don't know if they had looked at the change as far as when they were valuing their land as when I looked at my zoning changes and the urban growth boundary changes. So as of right now, we have almost 700,000 on this parcel.
Good. But the parcel in question is zoned residential.
Correct? It's zoned residential, yes.
That's right.
So this parcel and these two bigger parcels are in a multifamily, even though some of them are mixed use, majority of it is a multifamily use. And so I had worked on these three parcels. This one is primary, I think it's pretty much all zoned or majority zoned commercial. And so the commercial department has this property to evaluate. So, you know, there's a difference. There could be a difference there, as I don't know what their valuation process is.
So without the zoning being changed in that piece of property, it's going to be difficult to develop that 30 acres by itself.
This one here, is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
So this one is zoned, I think it's the HD.
Well, that's the subject parcel.
Yeah, that's the subject parcel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, correct, yes. So the one below it... Actually, let's just go ahead and do this really quick. I'll just throw on our zoning layer. So this one here is zoned mixed. So it's a the MXNS is mixed commercial residential, and the CNS is commercial. So majority is a commercial use on the parcel below it.
But the subject property is residential, high density residential.
Right.
Okay. All right. I have enough information. You have any other questions, Lisa?
No, I have no other questions.
Thank you for hearing the appeal. You're welcome. Thank you. You're welcome. All right. You'll hear from us within 30 days. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Close the hearing.
This is the November 7th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 62 for property ID 3577-0700. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Carol here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
You swear.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your opinion.
I do have a question, and I should have gotten this answer, but I couldn't seem to find it in my stuff. So do you have all, do you have what I submitted?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, great. So that really is the extent of it. I bought this home in March, April. I can't remember when it closed. March, April. And we paid $1.3 million. It was listed for $1.37 for quite a while. We bought it. I think it had been listed for 6 months or more. And then as a part of the process, the banking process, it was assessed, or what's that called?
Appraised.
Thank you. And the appraisal was, I think it was 1.4 something. And the current... and that's in my documents. That's why I was asking if you had them. I think it's 1.45 or 1.47. So to me, if, you know, I could understand if it was a 1.4 something But to get to 1.5, I can't understand how the market value could be that different from the bank assessment or the bank appraisal and what I actually paid for it, which is a pretty good sign of what it was worth. Yeah, it's not like I bought it in a price war or anything, but it was on the market for quite a while and it wasn't sold. So I don't understand how that number came up.
Yeah, we don't understand either. That's the assessor's office. That's their...
Okay. That's my number one issue is I don't understand. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me because I know what I paid and I know what the appraisal was, and all of that was within, I think, a month or two of getting the increased value.
What... you were represented by a realtor, and were they represented by a realtor?
Yes.
It wasn't a private transaction of any sort. It was
no.
Open market. They had it listed on the market for sale.
I think it was 6 months, and it was listed for $1,370,000. When we bought it, it was listed for that.
Do you have any idea why they valued it at $1,450,000?
The assessor or the appraiser?
The appraiser.
Yeah, the appraiser did based on, they had all the comparables and they showed it based on the comparables and our square feet, and that's what they came up with.
Mm-hmm. It looks to me like they went based on the appraisal rather than the sale price.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
But even the appraisal is lower than the assessed price. Right. That's why I don't see any evidence for it. The homes here, they sell. It's a development. They sell, but they sell slowly. And I know that it differs where you are. Like if you're on the first floor, or the second floor, or the third floor, we're on the first floor, which theoretically might not have the best view, which might explain why the assessment was, why the appraisal was a little lower. Yeah, that's all the evidence I have is seen.
What place is this?
Tidewater.
It's Unit 106. Yeah, Unit 106.
Is this a complex that has a lot of absentee ownership?
No, it's actually pretty... I don't remember the amount, but it's...
There's very few of any rentals in there. They're all
yeah, exactly. Well, not when you say absentee, there are people that travel.
But are there any corporate ownerships in there?
No. And none that I'm aware of at all. And
The value being pushed up is when you have absentee owners or corporate ownership.
I see.
That they just buy it because they've got the money to buy it, and they use it whenever they need to use it, and it doesn't.
I do know that when we were in the process of
true market value,
right? I do know when we were in the process of buying it, you can look and see the comparables, and even though they aren't comparables, there are definitely units in our development that go for quite a bit of money, like $3 to $4 million. They're much different in square footage. They're, tricked out to the max. But I don't see those in the same category. There's probably a set of them that are more in my category.
Did you have any trouble with the negotiations in terms of when you bought it, whether there was, back and forth, or was it pretty straightforward? No. They were asking you...
Yeah, they accepted our offer. 1.37.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what the price history was. I don't know if they started higher and lowered it. I do know that it had been on the market for at least 6 months. That much I knew because that went into why we offered 1.3.
I don't have any...
There was one other that was for sale. I just want to mention... that was in this development that was selling quite high for price per square footage. And at the time that we got the assessment, it was not sold yet. And now it's been sold, and it was sold quite a bit under what it was for sale for.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I don't have any other questions on it.
No, nor do okay. I.
Well, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Have a great day.
30 days. Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Again, I appreciate it. Bye now.
Close the hearing.
This is the November 7th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 61 for property ID 98600065749, and the property is owned by David and Catherine Reeves. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have David here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, thank you. I did appeal last year's assessed valuation. It was before the Board of Equalization. That was on September 5th, just a few months ago. On September 21st of 2024, the letter said 2023, but I don't believe you guys deliberated before you actually heard me. So on September 21st, 2024, you determined the valuation of the property to be $62,500. Since September, I've been working on the property diligently, and I've discovered that some of my estimates on cost to put in the utilities was underestimated, which would mean that as of January 1, 2024. I'm sorry. I'm in a hotel in Hawaii, so I can't take care of things that are beyond my control. The property has not changed in any significant way. The assessor did point out that I did get a building permit. The building permit was well after January 1st. In fact, they wouldn't issue a building permit because I didn't have services to the property yet. It was lacking water, sewer, power, good driveway access, gas, phone, cable. So it didn't really have any of the services that you would expect a developable lot to have. The water is in. I did finish the sewer as of about August 20th. And so after August 20th, the city was willing to issue a permit. And so that's why I ended up getting a permit on September 27th. So I am now constructing the house. The sewer to put in, I had estimated at $10,000. I actually came in at $15,600. Power, I had earlier estimated at the cost to develop that at $12,000. I'm into it at $18,000. Clark Public Utilities came out, looked at it, said, nope, it's not there yet. If I can't get it there, like some properties are landlocked, I'll be power blocked unless I'm willing to put in a new transformer between $8,000 and $12,000, plus I need new conduit again. That is a low probability. I am hoping I have fixed everything they want fixed so that I can actually finish and get power to the lot. So since nothing's really changed, it would be nice if I could get the assessed valuation to be determined at $62,500, but in my appeal, I asked that be set at $80,000. Land values probably have gone up a little bit, but not since September, I would hope. So since it's still lacking utilities and services, no change has occurred since the board looked at it just a few months ago and had the Board of Equalization had determined that the value should be set at 62.5. I think, the cured issues were things next year, that all of the assessor's arguments should be valid because I will have water, I will have sewer, I will have gas and other services to the property. I will have a building permit at the time they are actually assessing. I didn't have a building permit in January 1st or February, March, April, May, June, July, or even August. It wasn't until September 27th that I was able to get a permit because the lot wasn't ready.
What did you actually pay for the property last December of 23?
December of 23, I owned the property, and so I went through a partition process. I had to get a road vacated, and the city determined that the valuation on the road, and so that's roughly 132 feet by 50 feet. They said that that valuation was about $8,000. So I paid, part of it I owned, and then I paid $8,000 for both my half and the neighbor's half.
So how do you own the property?
I own the property.
No. My question was, it says on here you bought it in December of 23. Did you not buy it then?
I owned the property, and it became a parcel in December of 23. So it didn't even exist until I made it a parcel.
So how much did you pay for the parcel?
I partitioned it off and gave it to myself.
Okay, so... Yeah. So you owned a lot of property, and out of that property, you partitioned off a lot. Is that what you're telling me?
I owned one lot, and I divided it into two pieces after getting the city to vacate a right-of-way that they charged me a few thousand dollars for.
So you're not really willing...
Did you buy the property?
You're not willing to share with me what you paid for it.
I bought the original parcel. I bought for like $180,000, but that included a house. So in December, that's when I completed the process of partitioning the lot, and it came into existence. It never existed until December, and so I made it come into existence by partitioning it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. You bought that house and property, which included all of this property plus the house and the property.
Yes.
Yes.
And so you're now just peeling off part of that property to build another house on.
Yes, that is correct.
Are you a developer?
No. People think I'm crazy. I'm retired, and I've always wanted to build a house. And the inspector, he says, you're doing this by yourself. You and I are going to talk a lot.
Okay. Got it. All right. And you're saying you didn't get the building permit until September?
September 27th. I didn't have a building permit until September 27th.
Okay, that the assessor's information indicates that the part of the reason they increased the value, they're saying that you must have had all the power box, water, and sewer taken care of because you got a building permit, and that building permit didn't happen until September, and they only have until July 31st to value property under construction. So that statement does not add to the value.
It wouldn't add to the value, no.
Okay, got it.
Really, nothing's changed since we visited in September. Like I say, it'd be nice to have the exact same valuation of $62,500 as was determined prior. I'll be happy with $80,000. I just know that the estimates that they're making are way overstated. And they're also using comparable properties that have proven delivery of services on existing houses. I mean, if you buy a car and you know that the transmission works, the electronics works, the wheels, the brakes, the engine is all fine, that's one thing. But we know that my property has defects. I mean, if you know the transmission on a car is bad, you pay less for it. I know I don't have sewer, water, and all those things.
I don't have any further questions.
No,
I don't have any further questions on it.
I got the picture.
Thank you.
Okay.
You'll hear from us within 30 days.
All right. Anything else that I could add or any questions for me?
No,
we got it.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Allison.
Have a great day. We appreciate Bye-bye. It. Dan, close the hearing?
Close the hearing.
This is the November 7th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 68 for property ID 12481717172. The property is owned by Carol and Paul Taylor. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We do have Nicholas Paisano here for the assessor's office, and we have Carol Taylor here for the appellant. If you could both now please raise your right hands to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do so swear.
I do.
Thank you. Just to remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, Carol, I'm going to turn it over to you. Any further explaining?
Okay. So last year, I did a Clark County appeal, and then was, not successful, so I filed a state appeal. And the slides I submitted was for state appeal May this year. And Ms. Patterson, Susan Patterson, said I can use the same material. For this year, I don't have to resubmit. And it was on the record by email. BOE was copied on that email. So now I just use the material I submitted for Washington State for this appeal. Okay, so you have the material. And page one and the state, you know, so it was sent to state. And essentially, this slide was used, was appealed for January 2023 value. So for January 2024, and the assessor office first assessed 813K, and then I received another letter and reduced it to 79.1K. Okay, and so now appeal value is 791K, not this value. Okay, and long history about my property, you guys are probably familiar with. Okay, and the last year when I doing county appeal, and I did not receive Clark assessor office's, information, okay? And now come to next slide, that's a third slide. It's essentially a table showing your history of appeal. And for 2015, 2016, 2017, I did a state appeal, okay? And from this table, and I draw a diagram. That's the next slide, number four. And red line is what the assessor office assessed. The blue line is what I did appeal. Okay, and that's up to last year, 2023. This year, I did not make change. Since assessor office says acceptable, I use same information. So this is the next slide is my house, what it look like. That's slide five. Next few slides I'm talking about assessor provide five comparable, okay? And the first comparable was, my argument is this one is located in high-class subdivision, east of my subdivision. My backyard house is another subdivision. Because of this newer and fancier subdivision, my property assessed value. And the 2013-2014, I talked to the assessor and also BOE, back then the manager. And both of them says, for your situation, I'll try to find a systematic way to correct
the assessed value. They said there's no way. By law, you got to do it every year. Okay, that's what I did every year. And so this property was built on 2008, 0.25 acres, while my property was built on 2005 and a smaller acre, 0.18 acres, which is the size is the assessor comparable one was 33.3% larger than my property for the land. And the building was 333 more square foot, which is 10% more than my house. So, and that house also have a four car garage. Mine only have a three. And they have a five bathroom. Mine only have a 3.5 bathroom. So, they have a two fireplace and I only have a one. They have a two deck. I only have a one deck. So they have the view of lake and mountains. So that was why, you know, I think that is not a good comparison, good example comparison to compare to my house. So essentially, I don't think they are compatible, those two property. And the next slide is slide 7. Is assessor office comparable to? Okay, this property was built 1998, while my property is built 2005. There is a 7-year gap, and also this property has a 0.27 acres, while my house is a 0.18 acres. So the land is 50% more than my property, and the property also is bigger than my house. You know, it is 10% more in square footage, and they have a 7-bedroom. I only have a 4-bedroom. And so my house, my family lived in this house, in my house since 2009. That was a short sale, okay? And there's a 10-year gap of usage, you know, so up and down, up and down. It's hard to trade off, and I don't think those two properties are comparable. And now come to number 3, assessor offices is comparable. And this property was built in 1995 on 0.25 acre, and my house built on 2005, on 0.18 acres. So the land, it is 49% bigger than mine, and there's a 10-year gap for when the house built. So that's why, you know, that house is 29 years old. My house is 19 years old, and the square footage also is different. So I don't think those two properties are comparable. Okay, let's go on. Next one is slide 9, and assessor office comparable, number 4. Okay, this house has a 0.25 acres. My house is smaller. That is a 39% differences in terms of how big the land is. And this property was built in 2015, a 9-year-old house. And while my house was built in 2005, okay, so there's a 10-year gap. This comparable four is 10 years newer than mine, okay? And also, there's a fifth, you know, so it's a 10-year usage gap. My house is much older. That's a 50% difference. So I don't think number 4 comparison match with my house. So that's my view. And then respondent comparable number 5. Okay? This property and my property are in same subdivision. It was built on same year, 2005. Okay, And I think this is a comparable. It's one block away from my home. And built on same year and in same subdivision. I think it's comparable. Okay. And however, this house, you know, comparable five was sold 2008. And it was a 506K, 506K. And I went to this house because when they're on market, I went to visit. Inside is much fancier than my property. And just the window blinds is customized. Mm-hmm. It's like a European flip around. And just that is 50, 60K for the window. They just had another window blinds. And it's just like a window you can open and close. It's not the blinds. Okay, and the inside are much, much fancier. And just for my house, I bought it from short sale, okay, same subdivision, 2009. And my house was, purchase price was 365K. So just for the purchase price differences, and the assessor office comparable for was 38.6% more expensive than my one. My house, okay? And the property was sold again about $1 million, 2022. If based on those information, I did a ratio comparison, the calculation, I think based on the information, what it was originally purchased, what was sold for that comparable number five, and my house is a supposed value, 634K. Okay? And I would like to use this house. Assessor office comparable number five and as a comparison. I agree this is a comparable. But by comparison, and my house is only 634K. Okay? That's my view. And also, because my house is now, this is my comparable, okay? And my comparable, this house, this is the picture. And this is slide 12 is my second comparable. I have two comparable. And the data of the those two comparable is listed on slide 13. And it is slide 13, and I use those two comparable because they're not exactly same, so I average it. And once average it, and create the fourth column. And then I use the fourth column compared to my house, first column, so two blue column and compare, and I create the slides 14. Okay? And the slides 14, I call the summary 01. So essentially, the blue first line is a two sold house average, and the data was taken from previous slides. And my house is highlighted in yellow, and the data is took from previous slides. And based on those two average sold home, and the square footage was calculated, it was $2,022 per square foot. And I use that per square foot, 222, and made up my square footage cost for my house. And why I determine my house is $1 lower than the comparable average is because that house is a little bit larger on the side, but the smaller in square footage. Okay, so just I mentioned why I did that. And from these two comparison, and I believe my house value is 758,000. Okay.
Carol, you need to wrap it up.
Yeah. Okay.
It's time to hear from the assessor's office.
So what are you asking for?
I'm asking for next slides because my house is 20 years old and I need to repair all those. And slide 18, I'm asking for 615K for my property, because based on your policy, you know, so house repair, repaint, and all those can be counted. I got a quote. Every quote is submitted to state, and also you copied on email. And essentially, there are electrical problem, never able to fix it because they have to open drywall and the siding.
Okay.
And
the that's your filing.
Yeah.
650.
Yes.
Okay.
We can read all
that. 650.
Yeah, let's go ahead and hear from the assessor's office then.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity to address you all, and I will start with the description of the subject property as we see it, the assessor's office. The subject property is a class 4 plus or good plus quality rated property that's in average condition, 03 average condition. The actual year built of the property is 2005. It has an effective age and year built 2005 or 19 years of age. The property is a large two-story home with 3430 square feet of living area, and it's on a 0.18 acre lot. It does not have a view, and it's not valued with a view. The assessed value for the property under appeal at this hearing is $791,547. As we just heard in the petitioner's own words, essentially, as submitted, the appeals petition contends that there's newer, higher-class subdivision in the area with views of the lake, that the petition takes issue with prior year's values and discusses prior board decisions, and the petition also referenced alternate properties and sales and provided a new bid of repairs for remodeling and updates to suggest condition issues are ought to result in a lower value, and the bids address the need for a new roof and lack of remodeling of the subject's interior. I want to address the petitioner's evidence, but to start, we need to understand that the assessor's office is mandated by revised code to assess the property at 100% of its fair and true market value as of January 1st every year. Market value is derived from arm's length sales of like property and similar competing properties from the prior year, in this case 2023. January 1st, 2024 values are determined by evaluating those sales, and they are adjusted for time and or other differences, and we must adhere to standard practices to ensure quality and uniformity in the valuation of this real estate, and must be using deliberate appraisal methods to do so. Market evidence from the time period shows that the property is appropriately valued. The assessor's valuation is presumed to be correct and can be only overcome by a presentation of clear and cogent data that suggests otherwise. So getting to the petitioner's evidence, presents three areas of argument. The first of these relates to the prior appeal decision and presents a historical graph of assessed value and appeal decisions, which are not relevant. As stated above, our assessed value is based off of the preceding year's values, sales analysis, and we generate that every year as of January 1st. So preceding determinations, while true, aren't relevant to the evaluation of these properties year after year. In the appellant's data, they pointed out a non-sale at 11207 Northwest 35th, which includes a comparison of assessed values. Again, that's not relevant. That's not a market sale. It's outside of the evaluation process. The second item of the petitioner's evidence is a new bid. The petitioner upped the bid from previous years to include exterior paint, electrical repairs, trim, and miscellaneous items that increased the prior $51,869 bid to a new requested bid amount of $140,000. In the photos, only the roof was photographed to validate the damage, and it is noted that the annual assessment already is discounted for roof repairs. As a matter of fact, this adjustment has been in place since 2019. The remaining cost items are not considered to be supported through any photos depicting any system failure. Furthermore, normal wear and depreciation is factored in the effective age of the property. This property is valued as an average condition property built in 2005, which accounts for depreciation items such as paint, trim, and wear. And there's a part of the bid includes a electrical items. Over 66% of that electrical items relate to electrical repairs for retaining wall lighting. The assessor doesn't even include the retaining wall or its lighting in the value, so that's outside of the scope. I recommend disallowing this since the assessor's value doesn't include exterior items such as that. So the property is valued and rated as an average condition home that lacks remodeling, and we fully recognize that condition in the effective age ratings, and depreciation is already baked in to the consideration of the subject's condition. The petitioner's third item of evidence presents six properties for consideration in addition to that non-sale. I went ahead and gridded those. Those, as we've just heard, are sales that are from 2022 from a prior appeal. If you look at the, I acknowledge that the prior sales have differences, as the petitioner points out. But if you look at the exhibit, after adjustments, those comps still support the assessed value. And then I've presented my own grid of current sales, which are valid to the 2024 value. Let me slow down. And in my own grid, the comparable analysis sales were selected to bracket the subject's features and are not identical, but they bracket its features and are adjusted for its differences. None of the comps have views of the lake, which is noted as one of the petitioner's concerns. The comps bracket the subject's quality level and provide support for all of its other features. The assessed value already accounts for the cost to cure item, and it was already adjusted. The adjusted range indicates strong value for the assessed value at a minimum, and I don't recommend any further adjustments. So considering the subject's features are supported in the comp data and recognizing that the subject lacks a view, lacks remodeling, but this is already factored into the depreciation and condition ratings, no value modification is recommended. The property is only being valued as a 2005 year built home in average condition. And value placed in my final conclusion statement here, value placed on the properties by the assessor is presumed to be accurate and correct. The burden of proof is on the taxpayer, and the petitioner has not overcome this with newer current data, and the no change in the assessed value is recommended.
Okay, I don't have any further questions.
I have a question. So whatever assessor office just presented, I did not get a copy of what are his points, all those. Just for you to know, I did not receive it. Okay, so whatever if they have a presentation slides, or they submit something, and I never received it. The view, whatever it did, and I did not receive it. Any possibility I can get their material by email, or maybe the audio recording, whatever you have, because I'm going to do a state appeal. If, Clark County appeal does not support my view.
Carol, I
need the information.
Carol, I can send you that information, but it would have been in the email you received with that letter you sent to me, the one that showed that they were sustaining that value. It would have also had his comparables in it, so. Nick, correct me if you're wrong.
You have a comparison, but a lot of things that he talked about is not in the material. So
all we have is what he sent you.
Okay, so can I get an audio copy? I can download it or maybe send me an email?
It will be available on the website.
Available on the website. Can you provide me a web link? so I can download it, because when I do state appeal, I will have all his facts, you know, what the assessor office talk about. I will, you know, have some response to their view.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't have any questions on it.
Nor do I.
No questions.
Close the hearing. Yeah. Good day.
So thank you. Every number,